2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse number 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verse 11 through the end of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and of course our text verse there will be the last verse. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. I'll read the first verse, and then you read responsively with me there on verse 12 and so on. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask you please tonight, help us, Lord. Thank you again for your word. I pray that, Lord, please, you'd help me. Help us as we preach tonight. And, Lord, help us, Lord, as we see the upcoming year. And, Lord, all that you did last year and all that you want to do through us this year, I pray that, Lord, we'd have the right goals. And, Lord, the fresh start is wonderful. The fresh start is wonderful. So, Lord, please, help us to set our sights on you and help us to think scripturally. And we love you and we need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It appears that there is always some sort of danger everywhere. There is, if you think about it, there is no place on this earth where a Christian is ever free from temptation. In the business world, you have worldliness. In our homes, we have trials. If you look at verse 16 real quick, as you have your Bible open there, it's 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says here, as also in all his epistles, Paul's the Pauline epistles, Romans through Philemon, or Hebrews, if you will, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Listen closely. Verse 16 teaches us that even when we read the scriptures, we are still in danger of twisting or wrenching the Word of God to our own destruction. God says, be careful. The Pauline epistles have some things in it that are hard to be understood, and some people, thinking they know them, wrest them or twist them to their own destructive hurt. That means with the Bible, the Holy Word of God, right in front of our eyes, we can still commit sin. While thinking upon the words of God, you can still be led astray with the error of the wicked. There is the danger of misrepresenting Scripture so that we could actually make God to say what He did not say. God has provided for us at the end of the chapter,
chapter 3, verse number 18, God has provided a shield of protection in verse 18 that can prevent us from holding many false doctrines. If you look down at verse 18, it says, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You say, what's the safety? The safety net, the safeguard, teaches us, don't ever study the Scriptures to grow intellectually. Search the Scriptures to grow in grace spiritually. Some people make the grave error of turning the Bible into a textbook, and it's not. It's an eternal book. The book you hold in your hand is God's book. It's not a textbook. It is much more than that. It's an eternal book. That's how those in captivity when they were back in the 70s and the 60s, when they were sending Christians in Russia to Siberia, that's how come one pastor said in the prison church, all he had was Psalm 23. And for 16 years, he preached a new sermon out of Psalm 23 every week. The book you hold in your hand is the only book that could happen with. It's an eternal book. It's an eternal book. Grow in grace. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 2, God says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. As you desire the Bible and read your Bible, you'll grow. You see, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Your motive on why you learn your Bible will change your spiritual attitude. I say it again, if you turn that book into a textbook and it becomes an ego board where you can see that you know more than somebody else, it puffs you up. And that's in reference to a dead animal on the side of a road in the summertime. They get hit, and you've seen the deer, you've seen the possums, but as the heat starts to cause the putrefaction, and then they start to puff up with death. Knowledge puffeth up, or causes a false, hollow, nasty growth. All growth isn't good. All growth isn't good. Here, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. You see, I do want to know the doctrines of the Bible, but that's not the end in itself. I want to know the Scriptures, but it's not so I can show you that I know more than you. It's so I can help more. It's so I can grow more. It's so I can love more. But it's not an end in itself. There are many people who read the Bible and learn it because they worship their mind and it builds their pride about what they think they know. The more Bible they learn, the prouder they become and more arrogant they become. I want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is spiritually healthy to think, while you study the Scriptures, I want to glorify the Lord. I want the Lord to be glorified. The text can be divided in two ways. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, God says this, grow in grace. It is understood that to grow in grace means you must have been first saved by grace. Amen? You can't grow in grace until you've been saved by grace. You see, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and dead things can't grow. Once you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, then the same resurrection power that gave you spiritual life is the same power that allows you to be capable of spiritual growth. If you are lost, you can't grow in grace because you are under the curse of the law and you are under the wrath of God. You have things on top of you. If the incorruptible seed of the Word of God has been planted in you and has been germinated by your faith in the Word of God, then it is your spiritual growth that proves that you have been saved and have eternal life in you. You know what happens when you plant a rock? It stays a rock. It doesn't grow into a bigger rock. You understand? It's dead. There's no life in it. You plant the pebble, it stays the same size. You plant a... I know this is not rocket surgery, okay? You plant a rock, it stays a rock. But you plant a seed of a tree, And as it breaks forth, eventually, as it grows, you say, why would you use a tree? Well, God's illustration in the Word of God of a faithful believer in the Lord is a tree. Doesn't Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3 say this? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So God's picture in the Bible of a faithful Christian is a tree. You say, is that the only place? In Jeremiah, it says in 17, verse 7 through 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Psalm 19, this is the last verse I'll read, Psalm 92, it says this, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So God's picture is a tree. This year, in 2016, why don't you pray that you can grow like God's picture of a tree? Pray that you grow like a tree grows. How does a tree grow? Everybody knows the foundation, and what you don't see in a Christian's life is always more important than what you do see in a Christian's life. The most important part of a house or a building or any construction is what? Foundation. Sears Tower goes up 400 and some odd feet, and its foundation goes down 500 feet. That's how it takes the Chicago City winds and can move. How can it stand that? Because what you don't see is stronger and more than what you do see. Same thing with a tree, right? It grows downward first, and as its roots shoot downward into the soil, it looks for rocks to anchor itself to. This year you ought to pray like a tree, that you grow downward in humility, that you learn more of how unworthy you are and how desperately wicked your heart is, that you be rooted in humility. And like that tree, you send your roots down deep into the soil of Scripture, and you wrap around those huge rocks of Bible doctrine. Doctrines like God's eternal love. Doctrines like His unchanging faithfulness. Doctrines like the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrines that's God's eternal purpose for your life. The doctrine of the Word of God. Wrap your roots and ground in the doctrines as you send your roots down. And listen, just like the roots grow deep, seeking for water, so you also should dive into the Bible and drink the water of the Word of God. This type of growth doesn't build your ego or add to your fame. But when the storm hits, you'll be able to withstand the hurricane and the force winds that tear up and destroy all the other hypocrites. Amen. If you'll just let your roots dig deep. You see, a tree grows downward and it grows up. This year, also, like a tree, you should seek to grow downward and upward. Pray to have more love and desire as you grow upward, your love and your desire for God, that you could draw nearer to Him in prayer and have a sweeter sense that you're His child. Just as a tree grows upward and provides shade and bears fruit as it grows, pray that the Lord would give you opportunities to influence people for Him, and that He'd give you fruit, and that your fruit would remain. God's illustration of a faithful Christian is not only a tree, but let me move on to the next illustration tonight. God's illustration of a faithful Christian is also compared to children. Did you know we're supposed to grow like babies on the pure milk of the Word of God? We're supposed to grow slowly. Listen, a little each day, but a lot in years. I know some Christians that are very immature. How long you've been saved? It can mean your maturity, but it doesn't always mean your maturity. Your growth, how you grow in the Lord, if you aren't careful, as we read in verse number 16 of 2 Peter 3, you can damage yourself spiritually. You say, well, I've been saved. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It matters how you've grown. How you've grown. Grow like a babe. Grow like a baby grows. Like a child grows. You see, we're supposed to grow slowly, and then we're all supposed to grow as children in strength. Okay? So we can eventually walk without feigning, and run without weariness, and finally mount up with wings as eagles. A child grows evenly all over. You're not supposed to grow in one area only of your life. You're supposed to grow in all your areas. You say, what are you talking about? You should pray that your growth in grace, okay, is in all areas and that it's balanced. Your stand for right should also grow with your love for other people. If you are unbalanced, you can look like a dwarf body with a giant's head. I'm talking spiritually now. Well, I know how to take a stand. Yeah, but how many people did you walk on to get your stand? How many bodies did you leave behind? Glad you took a stand. Well, I'm learning. In other words, as a Christian, you grow in all the graces. You don't grow lopsided in one area of your life. You grow all over. You see, you can if a child of God does not grow in grace, in their faith, in their prayer, in their holiness, and in their love, it's because they did one of two things. They either chose not to grow, or they involved themselves in something that took their desire to grow. That's the reason they don't grow. You see, you can be deformed physically, but you are never spiritually deformed if you're saved. You are complete in Him, and you have the capacity to grow, but that choice spiritually to grow is yours. You may have stunted your growth, but you can start again at any time. You have to understand, with any person in business, if they don't win, they lose. With a soldier and the warrior, if he's not winning in battle, then his enemy is gaining ground. The wise man who chooses not to get wiser grows more foolish, and the Christian who does not learn more of his Lord and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Knows less of his Lord and becomes less like Christ. You don't stagnate in the Christian life. You're either going forward or backward. But there's no such thing, well, I've been at the same spot spiritually for about 20 years. No, you've been backsliding for 20 years. You don't stay stagnant in the Christian life. You see, listen closely, our happiness declines as our spirituality fades. The only direction for a child of God, for a Christian, is forward. Growing in grace is very important. You see, there's only one source of grace. You get grace for living the same place you received it when you were saved. The Lord is the only one who gives grace. That's very plain in the Bible. God giveth grace to the humble. And as you study the Lord Jesus in His work and in His character and His person, God tells us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't want to learn, I'm going to make a real strong statement. I'm not being mean right now, just listen. If you don't want to learn more of Him, then you don't love Him. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Now, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. What does it mean to grow in grace? I think a couple of things. I'll just give you a few points, and then we'll be done. You see, I believe, before I give you these, I don't think you should just want to be a Christian. I think you should want to be the best Christian. I think you should want to be the best Christian. You know, they say 75% of all football players do the same thing to be professional. But the champions do 25% more to be a champion and not just a player. What do you got to do to grow in grace? Well, first you have to grow in faith. Seek to grow in trusting God's promises. We spoke of one this morning. There's trembling. There's a trembling faith that says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That same faith can grow upward to a faith that staggers not at the promises of God, and like Abraham, believes that he who has promised is able also to perform. Grow in your faith to believe more truth from the Word of God. Let your faith daily increase in its simple, entire, complete rest. Next, grow in love. You should grow in your love for more people. Nobody masters this. Do you understand? All of us learn to love. You're gonna work at loving people until you get to heaven, but I'll never forget what Dr. Evans told me. I'll never forget the day in my Christian life when God gave me a love in my heart for all people. And I quit playing favorites, and I was able to say, I love them, and I love them, and I love them, and I love them. And that happens in every Christian sometime in your growth. If it hasn't yet, hold on. I love that. You should this year, if you're going to grow in grace, seek to grow in your love. Number three, what does it mean to grow in grace? Do not ever compare yourself with others. If you don't know this verse, you should. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. God says this, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I'm not trying to be a better Christian than anybody else. I only want to be a better Christian than I am now. I want to be the best me possible to the glory of God. You know why we dare not compare ourselves? You limit yourself when you compare yourself with somebody else. Instead of comparing yourself to the Lord Jesus, you said, I want to be the best Christian in my neighborhood, or the best Christian in my class, or the best Christian at work. Now you just limited yourself, and you got the short end of the stick. I've watched people leave independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches and go to some liberal joint, and they say, they made me a Sunday school teacher. Oh, great. Now you're the best among the worst. But you were intimidated and you couldn't grow spiritually because you were comparing yourselves among each other. Now you're in the, they made me a Sunday school teacher. Careful. You should not dare to compare yourself to anyone except the Lord Jesus. Every Christian's scriptural examples for you to compare yourself to is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and your pastor. Those are your scriptural examples of following somebody. Or, I don't mind using the word, I think you ought to have heroes. And you can tell a lot about a Christian by what type of heroes they have. Let's take this a little further. If you're going to grow in grace, make sure your main goal is not to become a better Christian. And it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but listen. You see, if your goal is to become a better Christian, then this can invite selfishness. God's Word tells me as a child of God, I am to lose myself, never measure myself. I'm to lose myself. He that loseth his life shall find it. So God says if you want to go forward, you lose yourself. Humility is not just thinking little of yourself, it's not thinking of yourself at all. Wanting to love more, that's not a bad motive, but it's a pure motive to say this, I want to increase my capacity to love so my friends can have more love. Now that's a pure motive. If I want my friends to have more love, then I must become a greater lover. But my motive is now not as fleshly. You should be able to say this, if you want to grow in love properly, you should say, I want my children to have more love. I want my wife to have more love. I want my friends to have more love. You should be able to look at someone and say, I wish they knew they were loved. To do that, I have to gain a bigger capacity to love more people. And by the way, so do you. Amen. You should want to grow in that area. This year, if you want to grow in grace, how do you do it? I think it's important to be around those more spiritually mature than we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 9:6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Good truth, you become like those you hang around. And if you're hanging around people that do not challenge you spiritually, you will become like those you hang around. You hang around people that don't go soul winning, then if you are a soul winner, pretty soon, you won't be. You say, well, I'm King James Bible. You want to run with people that don't use the King James Bible? Give it enough time. I hope not, but it always happens. You run with dogs, you get fleas. You lay with the pigs, you get mud on you. Amen? Okay, you become like those you hang around. You can't, you see, it's so important for every one of us to choose companions who challenge us spiritually, not just compliment my lack of spiritual growth. You can't see character, but you can be inspired by seeing it displayed. You can't see integrity, but you can be inspired to strive for integrity when you see it displayed in others. You can't see honesty, but you're inspired to be honest as possible when you see it in others. This is why. This is just another way of saying, I know I've already said, be careful who you hang around. Please be careful who you hang around. If the person you spend time with is always critical of your church and negative and nasty, well, give it enough time and you'll eventually become like those you hang around. You say, well, I'm hanging around them to influence them for the Lord. You don't understand. You don't catch good health. You catch sickness. If the car's dirty, I don't make it clean by rubbing up against it. I get dirty. Now the car has a stupid rub spot on it, and it's still dirty. And I'm filthy. I'm trying to influence them for the Lord. That is not biblical at all. It will kill you spiritually. If they want what you have, they come to you. You don't go to them. If they have what you want, they'll say, could you teach me? Could you help me? Can I go soul winning with you? Can I go to church with you? But you, I'm trying to... I've heard so many people say that, and it causes their downfall. Listen carefully. This goes deeper, though, than just don't hang around the wrong crowd. The statement I made was this. It's important to be around those more spiritually mature than you are. You see, I believe this means stay in a crowd that challenges you. Stay in a crowd that challenges you to be your best. Make sure your associations are stronger Christians than you are. Number next, if you want to grow this year in grace, grow in grace, then don't measure or display your spiritual growth or size. Listen closely. 2 Corinthians 12:15. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and turn there. This is just one of the most amazing verses, I think, in the Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Do you know what the Bible teaches? In failing to display Christian maturity, one demonstrates it. Then a Christian, especially a mature Christian, knows how to meet his fellow Christians on their own level of conversation. Now, I don't mean this by, you know, what are you cussing for? Well, they were cussing and I wanted them to feel... Okay, cussing's wrong. All right, you're supposed to control what comes out of your mouth. All right, I'm not talking about that. But the more a Christian grows in grace, listen, the lonelier they become. It means more and more that the Lord becomes the only one who understands what He's allowing you to see. This is why depth can sometimes appear shallow. This is why the most mature Christian is often recognized as a mature Christian, because he is spiritually strong enough to meet each Christian on their own level. Jesus became more lonely as he approached the top of the mountain. He left the multitude. He went with the 12. After a while, he left the 9 of the 12, and he took only the 3. Then, it was not long until even the 3 were asleep, and he was alone with the Father. This means that the best Christian may be, and probably is, the loneliest Christian in the world. Did you ever stop and think that the burden of reconciliation always rests with the strong and not the weak? You realize that the sinned against will be more spiritual. You say, you don't know what they did to me. The more spiritual one is the one who seeks the relationship to be restored, not the one who did the sinning. Normally, they're the weak one. You know what they said to me? You know what they did to me? You know what they... The strong Christian goes to the weaker. You see, if one is so deep that he cannot be understood by the shallow, how can he help anybody? To have the deep thoughts is fine. And to discuss them with light maturity is fine. But to speak always on the level of one's own spiritual attainment is neither profitable nor helpful. Spiritual growth is of little use unless it can be transferred into energy and into the service of God and into others. To know a truth simply for the purpose of knowing a truth is vanity. But to seek the truth for self-justification is selfishness. To seek more truth in order to gain strength to help others is Christ-like. The Bible teaches the better Christian you become, the more lonelier you will become. And if you want to grow in grace, a mature Christian measures his strength in how many people he can help and encourage and lift. Remember, in Christian growth, if you're going to grow in grace, the more you grow in grace, the fewer the number will be that will think you to be mature. The more you grow in grace, the lonelier you'll become. The fewer the people who will understand you and be qualified to judge your spiritual maturity. Hence, one of the heartbreaks of all Christian growth is that it is often unrecognized by others. That's why you can't be in the Christian life for the praise of men. It doesn't work. Carnality can never weigh spirituality. Hence, the mature Christian will have to find his comparison in being strong enough to help others rather than receiving their acclaim. The greatest person who ever lived was put to death on a cross. The more we become like him, the fewer are those who will be that can understand us. This is why weaker Christians are often judged to be better Christians. Pride cannot judge true humility. Carnality cannot judge true spirituality. The weak cannot properly judge the strong. Many of the great Christians are seldom recognized as great Christians. The flesh, however, does attempt to recognize spiritual qualities. Listen closely. In so doing, the flesh makes its own humility. The flesh makes its own love. The flesh makes its own meekness. The flesh knows how to pray. The flesh knows how to go soul winning. The flesh knows how to go to church. And when the flesh makes its own qualities, it then tries to satisfy them and meet its own requirements. And it actually thinks it's spiritual, but it's in the flesh. But it calls itself spiritual because it's measuring itself by itself. Very dangerous. Too many want to be considered a lover instead of being a lover. They want the title, but not the work. Too many are concerned about meeting the fleshly standards of humility rather than actually being humble. Hence, the great satisfaction of growing in grace, listen, will ultimately have to be in pleasing the Lord Jesus and becoming strong enough to be a help to other people. I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are this year, but I hope you want to grow in grace. I want to grow this year. Grow like a what? Grow like a tree. I first grow downward. The unseen part of your life is always more important than the seen. Your Bible time and your prayer time and your walk with God, what other people don't see, determines what you can do that others do see. And if you aren't careful, if you don't put the stress on the right thing, you're not going to be able to stand when the storm comes. Grow in grace like a tree. Set good goals this year. I want you to have good New Year's resolutions. Everybody should. But are there any spiritual resolutions you have? How many people did you lead to the Lord last year? Did you read your Bible through? How much did you pray each day? Can you increase it a little? This year, last year, I prayed, may have been something like 12 minutes a day. Well, can you go up to 15 this year? Can you grow in grace? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that please you would help us to have the right goals.